Hi, it's Hollis Walker back with the Santa Fe Radio Cafe on KSFR. Marcela Diaz is my next guest. She is the executive director of Somos Un Pueblo Unido, a nonprofit membership-based organization that works to promote racial and worker justice. Good morning, Marcela.
Hi, Hollis. How are you?
I'm good. I'm sorry we're a little bit late this morning. We had a little bit of difficulty getting that first guest on the show.
No worries. After my long day yesterday, I had a hard time getting up this morning, so Okay. Perfect for me.
Good. Marcela, before we get started, would you tell our listeners who aren't familiar with Somos Un Pueblo Unido what you do and who for?
Sure. Somos Un Pueblo Unido is a statewide organization. A lot of your listeners probably don't know that. We're in 10 counties. We have leadership teams in 10 counties, mostly immigrant families, working alongside allies to promote racial and worker justice. We organize in our communities to change local institutions, local policies, as well as statewide policies that will help move along our community and solve important problems in our community. And so that's mainly what we do. We were born in Santa Fe. We have been there for a good 18 years now. And we've really been able to, I think, help change the conversation in a lot of these local communities. And now we're a part of several campaigns at the national level, including, of course, the most important at this time, which is to move forward a path to citizenship for the thousands of mixed immigrant families in the state of New Mexico so that they can be as secure as the rest of us and be fully integrated into our community.
Marcela, tell me, you are down in Eunice, New Mexico right now, and I want you to tell us about what you're doing down there with some of the Somos leadership families.
Well, in Lee County, we have a really strong leadership team and many immigrant families who are fighting for their rights, and they are in Lovington and in Hobbs. We also have members in Valencia and Socorro County, as well as Chavez County, and a really amazing delegation yesterday, Hollis, of about 50 immigrant families crashed the town hall in Eunice, New Mexico, with Congressman Steve Pierce. Of course, they've been trying to meet with him within the last couple of months, but no success. And so,
you mean that he would not take a meeting with them?
Well, you know, the scheduling conflict. I mean, in the end, a meeting just hasn't been able to happen for lots of different reasons. It sounds like he's interested more in meeting with small groups of leaders in his community, and not necessarily directly with the immigrant families. And so, our immigrant families went to him, and he did. To be fair to him, he had a town hall in Eunice. This is really small. I had never actually been to Eunice. It's very, you know, you sort of drive in and you see all of the sort of the accoutrements of the oil and gas industry, and it was really fascinating. And of course, most of our members who live in this community work in the oil and gas field, and so 50 families went in and really dominated the discussion. It was around the importance. Each family, both that worked in the dairy industry, there were teachers from Lovington who talked about the children in their classrooms. There were families of oil and gas workers who talked about how hard it was and what a sacrifice their families were making in part to just survive, and because they are working in these fields and in some cases very difficult and unsafe conditions. And yet what they're asking for is a path to a secure life in this country. Many of our families here who've lived here for a number of years. And so we made up most of the people at this little town hall. They had to change the venue. They didn't expect so many families to come to directly share their stories. And unfortunately, our Congressman Pierce down here in District 2, although sympathetic to their plight, continuing to say, we need you in our agricultural industries, we need you in our oil and gas industries, one of the most important industries in the state of New Mexico and certainly in his district, he still does not support a path to citizenship for them and their families.
Yeah, and you point out something really important there, is that we often, it's so easy for us to think about especially the Mexican immigrant population, but also the Central American immigrant population. When we think of those people, you know, how do they fit into our economy? We often put them in the category of agricultural workers. But in New Mexico, and in southern New Mexico, not only do they work in the agricultural industry, we couldn't eat without the immigrant workers, But you're also saying that they're huge. They're a huge presence in the oil and gas industry.
Yes, they make up a large part of the workforce, both in Farmington and in the Farmington and San Juan County area, as well as in the southeastern part of the state. And Congressman Pierce recognized it. It was actually kind of a very sad and painful. It was very sad and painful to watch. It was wonderful to see folks stand up for themselves and stand up for their communities and really question and talk about that impact. I mean, one woman got up, she's six children, she's lived in Lee County for 10 years. Her husband couldn't come to the town hall because he was still at work. She said she hadn't seen him for the last 16 hours. He still hadn't come home by the time she had left. And she said, I'm just worried about how the long hours that he's putting in and the toll that it's taking on his health. He works in one of the cooling units here in Hobbs. And she said, she was just incredible. And we're going to post a lot of this to YouTube. She said, you know, I want to know, given that you have admitted, she said to the congressman, that this industry is essential not only to our state, your district, and your family, of course, because he is an oil and gas man himself and makes his money off of this industry. She said, why is it that you think it's fair that my family does not deserve citizenship? And he really just couldn't answer it.
Right. Of course not. Well, it's sort of like saying to a plantation worker, yeah, we need you to harvest to plant and take care of and harvest the cotton, but we're not going to let you vote.
Right. So we're going to keep it up. The families are incredibly hopeful. We, of course, are working with allies all across the state. There was a group of folks who came in also in addition to the counties that I mentioned from Las Cruces, and there are going to be town hall meetings. Several during the August recess that Congressman Pierce is doing. So we encourage people in those communities. I know that most of the listeners in KSFR don't live in his district, but if you know folks, and certainly support the groups that are doing this work in the southeastern part of the state, because it's, you know, we're an incredibly vital force, part of the workforce here.
Right,
and yet we need to be moving this forward.
And you have a lot of members of Somos Un Pueblo Unido who are not immigrants themselves, who are
That's correct. Are
members or donors to support the organization's efforts throughout the state.
Right. That's absolutely right. So we do need support, and we really need it at the state level, at the national level. America, the United States, really deserves a path to immigration, and we want a vote. And that's what we're – the August recess across the country, one of the things we were talking – with the families about was that, you know, what we did today, you know, 50 families showing up to this small little town hall, dominating the discussion, keeping the congressman on the defensive about his choices as of yet. It's happening in small communities, in rural communities, in semi-urban communities all across the country. Groups are organized in this fashion because this really is the time. This is the moment, of course. We saw this historic vote in the Senate take place in a bipartisan fashion, passed citizenship. A roadmap for citizenship was laid out, was voted on, was supported. And so right now, what's stalling it is the inability of the House of Representatives to move something forward. And of course, Speaker Boehner is saying that he won't even consider the Senate bill or any comprehensive pass unless a majority of his caucus supports it. And so he's really putting in the hands of, you know, the minority of members, really, what all of the members should be able to vote on. And so that's why it's so important for us to continue working. I mean, we're never going to lose hope. We know that Congressman Pierce understands these issues, and so we're just going to keep fighting. That's what we do. That's what we do best. And along with our brothers and sisters across the country.
Well, Marcel, I want to change course a little bit here right now. Somos Un Pueblo Unido works on so many different fronts. And last year, you and the NAACP issued a report on racial profiling in our state about the law enforcement agencies and how well they were complying with the 2009 Racial Profiling Act. Can you give us an update on that?
Sure. Well, about a year ago, we released a report along with a fellow from the Berkeley Center, Law Center for Human Rights, that basically detailed the compliance or the lack of compliance at that time, basic compliance with the 2009 law that bans bias-based policing and racial profiling in the state of New Mexico. And in the 2009 law set certain requirements, basic requirements, updating your policies, updating your training procedures, updating your complaint procedures, making sure that all of your complaints get sent redacted, of course, to the Attorney General's office so that the Attorney General could first compile a list and see if there are any trends in the state of New Mexico. And so, unfortunately, the results of that report were sad and dismal. Only 25%, 3 years after the law had passed, 25% of the law enforcement agencies across the state had actually complied and even changed their policies, much less trained their officers on the new policies. And certainly they didn't have complaint forms readily available and a procedure for folks to be able to complain, which is such an important part of this process because it allows people to really be heard and it allows certain issues to be remedied in the law enforcement agencies. And so the Attorney General has independent oversight over this law by statute, and so his office worked to make sure that, you know, everyone knew about it. He sent out some of the model policies from some of the agencies who had scored well in this report. And we just got, a couple of weeks ago, all of the agencies' updated policies. And it looks like about 80% of the agencies are now in basic compliance. So that means that they've updated their policies. So we've seen great movement within the last year, which is very good. There are complaint procedures that are, you know, sort of open to the public, complaint forms, new updated policies, which means, of course, that has to be taken into account in the training. And so we're seeing some progress, which is very good. Now, that we also got a copy of now that's public information. So we're going to be at the end of the month, we're going to be launching a website that we would love for people to go to with. Where you can actually go get information about the racial profiling law, get information about efforts at the national level to pass the End the Racial Profiling Act, which was just introduced in the Senate and the House by Senator Ben Cardin from Maryland and John Conyers from Michigan. That so you get information about that, you'll be able to see for every agency in the state, you'll be able to see what their policies are, as well as download their complaint form, have instructions about how to file a complaint. Now, it's not like we're encouraging folks to file complaints, willy-nilly. Obviously, if they have legitimate complaints, we think this is a good process. In our experience, Hollis, when immigrant families have filed complaints because they feel that they have been treated differently based on their national origin, their language, or their race or ethnicity, we have seen change happen as a result of that process. Additional training on how to deal with folks who show their matricula consulares, their matriculas consulares, which is the Mexican consular ID card, instead of a driver's license when interacting with a cop or at a DWI checkpoint, for instance. So we think it's an important tool in our community to further trust, community trust with police departments, to hold law enforcement agencies accountable. And in some cases, it's because of a lack of training. Folks, individual officers don't know what kinds of identifications are out there. And so we've seen great results from one or two complaints in communities like Hobbs, in Farmington, in Santa Fe, and in others. So we encourage folks to go to that website, we haven't launched it yet. It's a bias-based policing. So I'm just teasing your members a little bit. But the other thing that we're going to be doing wanting to be very transparent here in the state of New Mexico, we're going to be posting the agencies, the complaints, of course, with redacted information so that it's not about individual officers or the individual complainants, but the complaints that have been lodged are public information, so we're going to make sure that is on there so that, you know, folks know where there might be issues in our state and with which agencies.
Thanks, Marcella. Also, I wanted to mention, you guys are really active on Facebook and Twitter. I think you keep posting up there just about everything you're doing, so people can really keep up with your activities that way, right?
That's right. So it's Somos Un Pueblo Unido. We encourage folks to be fans. We posted yesterday, as it was happening, pictures and commentary about the the town hall meeting and the questions that were being asked by folks from the agricultural industry, small business owners. So it's a great way to keep up. We're constantly putting information about driver's licenses. And as a, you know, Mary Charlotte's listeners have gotten information, certainly in the past, from us about our efforts to make sure that New Mexico stays immigrant friendly and that doesn't go the path of Arizona. And so driver's license is a key part of that. And so now we have about 9 other states that have followed New Mexico's lead, have done the right thing, have made good policy, have put policy over politics, and have licensed undocumented immigrants in their state. Mm-hmm. So we always consider New Mexico a leader on these issues, and we want to continue to be a leader on these issues, which is why we do shows like this, so that folks know what immigrant families and allies, and we have so many allies, Paula, it's pretty amazing. You know, even here in Hobbs, New Mexico, which is where we're staying, there we have such a strong group of African-American leaders working on this racial they're not members of SOMA, but we work as allies with them here. Our community works as allies here on issues like racial profiling, and we're going to continue to grow those relationships across the
Marcella, state. We're almost out of time, but I wanted to make sure that we mentioned your Worker Rights Center. Will you tell our listeners about that?
Yes, it's very exciting. We have a really robust workers' rights project, a very strong statewide anti-wage theft campaign. We're working to help garner support in our community around issues like the minimum wage and extending it to the county. And we do this through a worker center, New Mexico's first and only worker center, which is there to not only, it's a sort of a place where we can run these campaigns through, but we can also give information about your rights as a worker, whether your wages have been stolen, whether you're a victim of discrimination. If you want to organize a workers' committee and try to change conditions in your workplace, there are ways to do that, even if you don't belong to a union.
Marcella, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to interrupt
you.
That Worker Rights Center is at 1804 Espinosita Street?
That's correct.
Is that right?
And Your listeners should know it's not just for immigrants. Our Worker Rights Center is for everybody. So we
and
welcome
you can,
all.
You can find out more. I've been talking with Marcella Diaz, the executive director of Somos Un Pueblo Unido. You can find out more on their website, somosunpueblounido.org. They're also on Facebook and Twitter. You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Hollis Walker.